Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages. Our prayer here at the Seed is that you come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. And we invite anyone to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Many of you can't join us in person, but you could join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com at 9 a.m. Go to our website, click on the live stream. You can worship, you can fellowship, you can offer up prayers, you can grow in grace. We're going to talk about baptism today, whether you're dipped, dunked, sprinkled. Well, we're not talking donuts. We're going to talk about baptism. Before we go to God's word, let us go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just give thanks for this new year. We give thanks for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray for those that are listening today to come to know your great love. For those that are struggling, give them peace. For those that need healing, reach them with your healing presence. We pray that your word today would be alive and redemptive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 17. You can grab your Bibles. We have a couple at our church that's giving away the one-year Bibles, and I'll mail you one if you email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll mail you one. Not email you one, but I'll mail you one. All right, Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 17. Listen for God's word for us. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way, make his path straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy," he says, "bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Will you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Those are some powerful words to ponder. You know that on the wall of President Lyndon Johnson's White House office hung a framed letter written by General Sam Houston to Johnson's great-grandfather, Baines, more than 100 years earlier. Baines had led Sam Houston to Christ. Houston was a changed man, no longer coarse and, well, belligerent, but peaceful and content. The day came for Houston to be baptized, and an incredible event for those who knew him. After his baptism, Houston offered to pay half the local minister's salary. When someone asked him why, he said, "My pocketbook was baptized too." There seems to be a lot of confusion around baptism, how a person should be baptized, when a person should be baptized, where a person should be baptized, well, and the meaning or significance of baptism. There's an old story of Ole, a farmer from Minnesota. When Ole quit farming and moved, he discovered he was the only Lutheran in his new town of all Catholics. That was okay, but the neighbors had a problem with his barbecuing beef on Friday. They were not allowed to eat red meat on Fridays, but the tempting aroma was getting the best of them. Besides themselves, they got together and confronted Ole. "Ole," they said, "since you are the only Lutheran in this whole town and there's not a Lutheran church for many miles, we think you should join our church and become a Catholic." Ole thought about it for a minute and he decided they were right. Ole talked to the priest and they arranged it. The big day came and the priest had Ole kneel. He put his hand on Ole's head and said, "Ole, you were born a Lutheran, you were raised a Lutheran, and now," he said as he sprinkled some incense over Ole's head, "you're a Catholic." But Ole and the neighbors were so happy, but the following Friday evening, the aroma of grilled beef still drifted from Ole's yard. The neighbors went to talk to him about this, and as they approached the fence, they heard Ole saying something strangely familiar to the steak. "You were born a beef. You were raised a beef. And now," he said as he sprinkled salt over the meat, "you are fish." In the religious world, there are many ways people have been baptized. For instance, the United House of Prayer for All People in Charlotte, North Carolina, faced a dilemma. They had a large group of people to baptize at their yearly baptismal service, but their church building and swimming pool was undergoing renovations, making them unavailable. Under the circumstances, immersing each person would have been time-consuming and inconvenient, so they came up with a great idea. Spray the whole group at once. A newspaper article reported when 2,000 people want to be baptized, that's a lot of dunking and a lot of time. Clearly, baptism by fire hose, well, it was more efficient. So the elders, assisted by local firefighters, sprayed the fine mist from a fire hose over their baptismal candidates lined up in the church parking lot. 2,000 were baptized that day by a fire hose. The confusion around the form of baptism remains. Some contend that you must be dunked or fully immersed in water. Other people say you can pour water on those that are being baptized, the dipped, and some say you simply need to sprinkle the baptized with water. And of course, there are those who say you can spray water with a fire hose. The form of baptism has been heatedly debated for centuries. Today, we celebrate this baptism of the Lord Sunday. Baptism signifies a washing with water. The command to baptize is fulfilled in many ways. It's fulfilled by dunking, immersion, dipping, or sprinkling. And we thought those words were just to describe donuts. The Greek word to baptize includes all three of those words, dipped, dunked, and sprinkled. I thought we would take just a few minutes today to look at the meaning or the significance of baptism. The word significance comes from the word signify, and we see that word in sign. The sacrament of baptism is an outward sign of the inward reality of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The sacrament of baptism is an outward sign of the inward reality of the work of the Holy Spirit. A sign points us to something, and there are at least four theological signs in baptism. Death to life, cleansing and forgiveness of our sins, ingrafting, adoption into the family of God, and regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a few moments to break those four signs down. Death to life. The sign of being immersed in the water or going under the water says we are buried with Christ in his death, going under the water, and we are raised to our new life in the resurrection of Christ. Death to life is one sign of baptism, cleansing and forgiveness of sins. One of the most common signs of baptism is the cleansing signified by the washing of the water. In baptism, the washing of water signifies a cleaning from sin. It is for our filthy rags we exchanged for royal robes. The tradition of new clothes on Easter came about from the early church. In the early church, when someone wanted to join the church, they would spend a year learning about the church, and on Easter Sunday, they would be baptized and then given new clothes to represent the new life given to them in Jesus Christ. Baptism is the outward sign of our being cleansed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Big theological word, sanctification. That's a big word, sanctification, sanctifying, setting apart. The power of forgiveness is not found in the water. Let me say that again. The power of forgiveness is not found in the water. That's why we can be dunked, dipped, or sprinkled. It's not the water. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The power is found in the work of God through the Holy Spirit, regenerating and renewing our minds, our thoughts, and our ways, convicting us, challenging us, and comforting us as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness that comes through the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Death to life, cleansing and forgiveness of sins, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit are all signs of baptism. The last sign, well, we have death to life, cleansing and forgiveness of sins, regeneration, renewal by the Holy Spirit, sanctification. Those are all big words. Fourth sign is adoption or engrafting into the family of God. So let's talk about that for a little bit. I'd like to talk about that in a personal engrafting, the sign of our adoption. Scripture continually points to our relationship with God as one of being adopted sons and daughters. In Galatians 4:4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law so that they might receive adoption as children." You've been listening to this Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team at the Seed would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and write your prayer concern. If you want to reply, there's a place for that. If you have a question, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Galatians 4:4, I'm going to read it again. I think it's important. You know, faith comes by hearing the word. So let's hear Galatians 4:4 again. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as children." Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 15, those powerful words concerning our adoption. "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father." When we baptize a child here in our church, or we baptize an adult, after the baptism, we say, "See what love the Father has that we should be called children of God." And so we are. We then have the privilege of walking the child around the congregation, showing off the new son or daughter of the King and grafting them into the family of God. In the summer of 2005, I had the honor and joy of participating in a service of baptism for new converts to Christianity in a little church that we built up in Peru, up in the Andes, that was up by a town called Cuenca. It was just a powerful moment as the men and women and children walked into the freezing, we're in the Andes, about 10,000 feet, and there are four pastors. We were out in the middle of the river, and it was cold mountain water, and the men, women, and children walked into the freezing water of the mountain stream high up in the Andes, and they were asked to state their name and to proclaim to those standing on the shore why they wanted to be baptized. My pastor friend Obed asked them to keep it short because we were almost waist deep in ice cold water. They wore white clothing to signify the remission of their sins. They were immersed, dunked under the water to signify their dying with Christ and being raised into a new life. There was a celebration after the baptism to welcome them into the family of God. While we were getting ready to baptize the Peruvian Indians, the Holy Spirit moved one of the members of our own mission team. His name was Andre, a young college student and the grandson of members of the church. He turned to us and said, "I have never been baptized, and I think it's time I joined the family." He was rushed over to change his clothes and given a white robe to wear as he was baptized and welcomed into this new family. The wonderful July day, he was engrafted, adopted as a son of the King. Dunked, dipped, or sprinkled. Really does not matter how we are baptized or when we were baptized as an infant or adult. What is important is to remember what baptism points us to, the signs of baptism. We have gone from death to life. We are cleansed and our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit renews and regenerates us, and we receive our adoptions as sons and daughters of the King. Not just a king, but the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Remember that the power is not in the water or the ritual. It is in God working through the Holy Spirit. Baptism is an outward sign of the inward reality of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life, God working in our life. I don't know if you've been baptized. I don't know if you remember your baptism. I don't know if you're going to church. But I would pause here and I would just say, go to your church and ask your pastor that you want to remember your baptism. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to encourage you to go to a church, find a pastor, find a good church. If you can't find a church, I'll help you find a church in your area. And ask to be baptized so that you can go from death to life, so that you can be cleansed and forgiven, so that the Holy Spirit comes in to renew and regenerate you, and you can be adopted and grafted into God's family. In the movie The Lion King, there's a powerful scene where Simba is called back to his baptism. Rafiki, the baboon, takes him to the lagoon to show him his father. Simba sees the reflection of himself, saying, "That isn't his father, it's just a reflection of himself." Rafiki says, "Look harder. See, your father lives in you." When Simba looks again, he hears the voice of his father saying, "Simba, you have forgotten who you are. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are." Wow. I mean, that's a powerful line in that, you know, classic movie, The Lion King. "You have forgotten who you are. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are." Today, in many churches around the world, or, you know, during this month of January, people celebrate the baptism of the Lord. And I pray that each one of us would have our own, well, epiphany. Epiphany is awareness. I pray we take time to remember the Lord's baptism, to remember our own baptism, the significance of our death and life in Christ, the significance of our forgiveness of our sins, the significance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the significance of our adoption as sons and daughters. As Simba had to remember, maybe we need to remember. Remember who you are. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are. That's my prayer for you. Each week as I prepare these messages and I speak to the radio microphone, I imagine who I'm speaking to, but I can't see your faces. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where you're at. I don't know your hopes, your fears, your dreams. You're sitting on the edge of a new year. The slate is clean. And I'm going to encourage you to remember today who you are. Let this beginning of this new year be a beginning of a new chapter in your life where you're walking in the light of God's grace, that you remember you move from death to life, that you remember that in if you've been baptized, you remember the forgiveness of sins, but you don't have to be baptized. Remember that you're forgiven. You just have to come to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And he does. He's faithful. He's just. And he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, John 1:9. And remember that when you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in to live when you're adopted as a son or a daughter. Wow. Remember who you are. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are. As my friend in Peru wanted to come and be a part of the family, may we all remember we are adopted sons and daughters of the King. God has engrafted us into God's family. The real so what comes down to this. Well, as Ole would say, you were born a sinner, we've lived as sinners, but today we are God's sons and daughters. Our baptism has taken us from death to life, cleansed us and forgiven us of our sins, healed us with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit so that our minds, our bodies, our hearts are renewed and regenerated anew, and we are adopted into God's family. Powerful. Well, that's so powerful. It's like taking a drink from the fire hose. Oh, man, I wish you could come to church here and remember your baptism or renew your baptism, or if you've never been baptized, to take the time to consider that the sacrament, it is a sacrament. It's a holy moment. It's a sacred moment. Baptism is a sacred moment to come and proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ and stand at the waters. I know that you know that you're forgiven. I want you to hear that today. But when you come to Jesus, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've done. I don't know your past. I don't know where you're at now, but when you come to Jesus and ask Jesus to be Lord in your life, you're forgiven. And it's a new slate. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. In Isaiah 43, we talked about that last week. He said, don't you see? I'm doing a new thing. I'm making rivers in the desert. I want you to know that God wants to do a new thing in you this year. I pray that you'll know that you have a family that loves you, that you're not alone, that you'll never be alone. God's promise is that he will never leave us or forgive us or forget us. So I want you to know that. And my prayer each week as I pray for these messages is whoever's listening will know that they're not alone, that God is with them, and God will never leave them or forsake them. Today we've talked about baptism, whether you're dipped, you're dunked, or you're sprinkled. The water isn't the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, in baptism, we move from death to life, a life in Christ. In baptism, we are cleansed and forgiven of our sins. In baptism, we are sanctified, regeneration or renewal. And it all comes by the Holy Spirit who starts to work in our lives in adoption, in grafting into the family of God. When Jesus was baptized, it says that he came up out of the water and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. I pray that you'll hear those words, that you are God's son, that you are God's daughter, and that you are well loved, that you're not alone. I know some of you struggling maybe in the middle of the night trying to sleep. I'm praying for you to have double sleep. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for each and every person listening here today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint them with grace that is sufficient. I pray for those that are struggling with health issues to be touched by your healing presence. I pray for those that are struggling with anxiety to be touched with your peace. Your word says that you're the Prince of Peace, and your peace surpasses all understanding. I pray for those that are struggling to know you. Today may be the day that they accept you as your Lord and as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you and I love you. And I pray that you'll have a blessed week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. God loves you and so do I. Have a great week. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.